Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you, he's an old time.
God be the glory. To God be the glory. How many of you can testify on tonight that God is the on-time God? I know that I can testify even if I have to do it all by myself, because God has been on time for me. He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. He breathed breath into my body. He's put my feet down on a narrow path, straight and narrow path on today. I'm able to speak. I'm able to praise. I'm able to worship. I'm able to just say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So guess what? I know that he's an on-time God. I know that a lot of us have situations and we have no clue how we got out of that situation. But I want to tell you today that God is an on-time God. It was God all by himself that brought you out of your mess. It was God all by himself that rose you up out of your dead place. It was him who resurrected you. It was him who restored you. It was him who revived you. So all of us can raise our hands in the air like we don't care and say, thank you, Father, for being the on-time God that you are. Thank you, Father, for being my rescuer. Thank you for being the lifter of my head. Thank you, Father, for all things. So I want you all tonight, I decree and declare that that is a motto that will come out of your mouth every time you think that God was nowhere around. Every time you think that your situation is going to take over you, remember that God is the on-time God. He may not come when I want him, when you want him. But one thing about it, we know that God knows everything. And we know that he will set us free. He will deliver us. He will do the things that is needed when he feels that we are at that place to receive. So remember that. Remember that God's word says that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And this is why you must remember. And this is why you praise him and you thank him and say, Father, I thank you for being an on-time God. Because you know the when, you know the where, and you know the how. And all I can do is surrender unto you, submit myself unto you, and just wait for the manifestation to come forth. Because one thing we know, that he'll do it. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? All of us know that he will do it. I thank you, ADM, for coming out tonight on our night, on our Bible study tonight. Thanking God that each and every last one of us can be in his presence once again. I thank God for just loving on us, keeping us, allowing us to see this terrific Tuesday. Just thanking him and blessing him for whom he is. Mother Helen, if you are on the line, can you press or whatever it is you need to press, come on in and give us our nightly prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you tonight, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for just because of who you are, Father God. Thank you, Father, for strength in our bodies. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that you have given us on this day, Father. We can give you many testimonies, but we thank you, Father, for today, Father, for everything that you did for us on today, Father. We thank you. We give you the praise. We give you the honor, Father, as we bring the word tonight, Father God. We ask that we decrease and you increase, Father, that the word comes without error, Father, and with clarity and understanding, Father. And the people, even if it's just one, Father, will hear what is being said, Father, and grab hold to it, Father, and then run. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen, saints, again, like I said, it is a pleasure, a plum pleasing pleasure to be before the Lord, and not just the Lord, amongst my brothers and sisters that trust and believe and love the Lord as I do. It is something when we are in together, unison, It is something about unison when we can come together. That's one thing I love about ABM, because that is one of the things, unison. One thing is not leaving anybody behind. So it's a beautiful thing when we can praise the Lord together, where we can worship him together, and we can go over his word, his Bible together. So as we progress on tonight, the scripture that I will be coming from tonight is a very familiar scripture, and you've heard it over and over, and so have I, and we say it. We say it so much, but the question is, do you truly understand what the scripture is saying? Do you truly understand what the author was saying in this scripture? And do we truly exercise what is being said? Do we truly? And the scripture is, and I'm reading from the Good News Translation, and it's Proverbs 18, verse 21. It says, what you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. I'm going to read it again. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. How many of you believe that things happen at the word of what Jesus says? How many of you believe when Jesus says something, let me put it that way, that things happen? When Jesus, we even know if we go into Genesis 1:1, when God spoke in the early part of the verse at the beginning, he spoke and he said, let there be light. And there was light. And he went down a little bit further and he said, let there be firmament. When he spoke, it took place. When Jesus speaks, things happen. How many of you believe that? I want you to turn over with me, if you have your Bibles, into Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. And the title of my teaching tonight is simply, some of you may say it's ghetto, but it's real. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Not watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Okay. And through 6, but I know that I need to read above and go above and beyond so you can get the concept. So chapter 5, verse 1 says, now it occurred that while the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the message of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats drawn up by the lake. But the fishermen had gone down from them and were washing their nets and getting into one of the boats that belonged to Simon Peter. He requested him to draw away a little from the shore. Then he sat down and continued to teach the crowd from the boat. Verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and your nets for a haul. Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night, caught nothing. But on the ground of your word, I will lower the net. I want to stop right there for a minute. Remember, I said, watch your mouth. Now, one thing I want to say is I'm a word person. So the first thing I knew is that Peter knew exactly who he was talking to because he called him master. So Peter already knew the miracle signs and wonders that could take place. But see, one thing about Peter, and we know that Peter, if you read throughout the Bible, Peter was that bold one. Peter was that one that always had something to say, that prideful one. And Peter was also the one that God, Jesus told him that you would deny me. Right, three times. So with Peter, Simon, Peter said to him, now I'm paraphrasing, listen, Master, I hear what you're saying, but I already did that. I did that all night. I'm tired. I didn't catch anything. I don't even know why we out here. This was what's so profound about it. He said that. That's what came out of his mouth. The negativity, the unbelief, the lack of trust. There would be no faith. But one thing we know about Jesus, if he said it, that means that he's already made the provision. If he said it, we already know that there's enough fish there for him to catch. We already know that there's a blessing there. Jesus not going to send us nowhere that he has not already. When he told Peter to do that, he already knew. He knows everything about us. But we, as a people, sometimes get to the place where we feel like that we got to question what he says. When God gives us the green light, as I said on Sunday with the Shumanite woman, you don't have to give explanations, take the directions, or you give the instructions, and you keep it moving. The less you say, you don't have to say anything when Jesus has already spoken. You don't have to say anything when God has given the instructions. Just ask Moses, when God told Moses, called for Moses to use Moses, Moses told him he didn't know how to speak. He said, I do not know how to speak. Let's go over there. That's in Exodus. That's in the book of Exodus. Moses was telling him, I don't know how to speak. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I don't speak eloquently, my Lord. I hear what you're saying, and I see what you called me to do, but are you sure it's me? Because, see, I got a speech impairment. I don't pronounce my words right all the time. I may stutter a little bit too much. My words may not come out clear enough. And God said, didn't I create your mouth? Didn't I create your mouth? When God say it, trust and believe it's going to happen. When Jesus say it, trust and believe it's going to happen. You don't have to be into a place where you always in a negative mindset. I choose to speak life into my situations because the majority of my life, and I will be 60 in January, so the majority of my life into my grown life, I spoke negativity. I remember one time I told somebody, I said, oh, Lord, I used to work in the law enforcement field. If I ever had to go to prison, Lord, let it be the feds. I spoke it into existence. And this is why it is so important for us to guard our mouths. It's so important for us to change our mindset and positivity instead of negativity. Because when we speak in negativity, we have to face the consequences that comes with it. That's what the scripture says. It says when you say, what you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. So when you get into a place where you're constantly speaking negativity over your life, then you got to deal with those consequences. When you get to a place where you asking God for something and there's a delay in that something and you go and sit and you call mommy and say, child, I knew I wasn't going to get it anyway. I knew that wasn't going to take place. Oh, I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. I know those people are going to tell me that my blood levels are high. Yeah, my leukemia is out of remission. My sciatica nerve bothering me. My mental health is off the chain. Girl, did you go to the store today? Child, I'm going to be broke every time I go into them stores. The light bill's getting high. The electricity. You speak. speaking life. You're speaking death into your situation. And you have to deal with the consequences according to the scripture. You have to deal with those consequences. You're the one. Instead of you being a person that sit and say, I shall live and I shall not die. Yes, I have to go to the doctor today, but I'm trusting and believing that there's going to be a turnaround. Yes, I'm hurting today, but I thank God that I'm up and I'm walking in the land of the living. Yes, the light building went up, but I'm thanking God that he has made the provision for me to still keep my bills up, even if we don't like to do that. We surround ourselves with negativity, and that negativity comes and just overwhelms us. It takes over us. When God has intended for us to tap into his anointing, that's why I said yesterday, Sunday, surround yourself with people that already has the anointing on them, because when you surround them and you listen to what they say, and not just listen to what they say, you see what they do, then it changes your mindset. When you listen to their testimony, say, well, they was here, they was there, but if I could just change some things in my life. And how do you change it? You go to God in prayer. See, we still speaking. We go to God in prayer. We're speaking. We're speaking to God. We're telling God what the situation is. We're telling God what our needs are. We're telling God even what our wants are. We're letting God know that I love you more than life in itself. Father, even though I'm sick, I'm trusting you that you're healing me day by day. See, we have to learn. And if you can't do it on your own, go in the Bible. Find you some scriptures that's going to bring you up, that's going to pull you up. So going back to Peter, and when Peter, what I loved about Peter was, Peter came back and he said, although I've done all of this, but if you say do it, even though he had that yet, back and forth, he still came back to redeem himself and said, basically said, if you say do it, Father, and I'm paraphrasing it, if you say do it, Master, then I'm going to go ahead on and do it. He did it. They caught a big catch. They were blessed. And even if they were not, even if he would not have caught it, he was with Jesus. The one that could have got more fish, he could have taken 1, 2, 3 and fed everybody. It didn't matter. The fact of it was that Jesus had already spoken. And that's where you and I have to be. We have to believe and trust in God. We have to change our vocabulary. We have to change the way we speak. It's a mind regulating thing. It's something, it's an exercise that you have to do. And I am the number one person that can tell you that I have to change the way I speak, the way I deliver things sometimes. I have to sit and go back and I have to think about that situation. I had a situation today where a circumstance came and God allowed me to hear myself in a situation when I have something, when I get a little frustrated and I get flustered or somebody's trying to tell me something that's good and I automatically just take off. I don't listen to what's being said, but today I was able to hear myself. And I said, thank you, Lord. And that's why God, this scripture came to mind, because I have to remember what we reap, we sow. And I couldn't, it was no way that I could really get angry about the situation. I had to go before the Lord and say, God, forgive me for my actions. Forgive me for my quick temper. Forgive me for my quick mouth. And one thing about it, I love when God brings that correction to me, because, see, I want to be prosperous. In Jeremiah 29:11, God tells us he knows the things that he has for us. and there are good things. God meant for us to be prosperous. He allowed, his plan was for the Israelites to go and live in the land of milk and honey. If he did it for that generation, why wouldn't he do it for all other generations as well? Watch your mouth. Watch the things that's coming out of your mouth, because you are condemning yourself. You are self-inflicting yourself with the words that come out of your mouth. Instead of giving praises, you giving curses. Instead of receiving blessings, you're receiving curses. Instead of getting this, you said the song said God is an on-time God. Instead of us receiving it when God wants us to receive it, we put a delay in it. Takes me back over to Daniel, and I don't know the scripture right off. Daniel prayed for his people. That means God heard what he said. Daniel prayed for his people. And when Gabriel came, he said, listen, God heard what you said. Did you hear what I said? God heard what you said. That means that Daniel was speaking. Daniel was in a place of intercession for his people. I got caught up with the prince of Persia, but God has already answered your prayer. See, when we are in a place of delay, we don't know what God got going on. One thing I have learned in my teachings, I'm asking God for one thing, but if he sees that I'm not a good steward over other things, what makes me think that he's going to bless me? But in that time of that delay, in that time, in that waiting period, in that time of idleness, I need to still keep praising him. I need to thank him in advance. I don't have to keep saying the same prayer because I've already said that prayer. My heart was pure. I had no ill motives. I was coming from a genuine place. I was coming from a place of humility. So all I need to do is continue in the time of me waiting and standing back is to continue to let God do what he has to do. I don't need to sit and call the next person and say this, that, and another. I'm still going to praise you anyhow. I'm still going to praise you and keep praising you until my breakthrough comes. Because one thing about it, I know that God's word does not come back void. God's word comes back. Let's look at that. That's Isaiah 55 and 11. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, out of my mouth. This is God. This is the scripture. Shall not return to me void without producing any effect, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. What that tells me is whatever plans for me, no matter what the circumstances is, no matter how long the delay is, no matter what stumbling blocks I have to go through, how many hurdles I got to jump over, how many mountains I got to climb over, even attempt to walk through, that it is going to prosper. Because his word pertaining to me, pertaining to you, wherever it may be. See, my plan is not your plan. Remember that. So stop looking around at what your neighbors got going on and putting your mouth on them or saying, God, Timmy did this and they got that, and they round here doing this and they round here doing that, but you still blessing them. And I'm round here that right standing kingdom citizen, and you still haven't blessed me. What have you done? Did you forget about me? Is my prayers not long enough? Am I not fasting? Am I not consecrating? Watch your mouth. Even Job, thank you, Holy Spirit. Job's wife sat and watched Job go through so much pain and agony, not even realizing that God, it was God's master plan, that God gave Satan permission to sift Job. And she said, Job told Job, You might as well curse God and die. Did Job do it? No, he did not. Because why? His relationship with God. Was Job in agony? Yes, he was. Was Job weary? Yes, he was. Was Job ready to, at one point, was he even angry? Yes, he was. But what did Job do? Job continued to let God have his way. He continued to go through the process. He continued to mind his mouth. He continued to make sure that he didn't do what his wife told him to do. And sometimes I brought that up because sometimes it's the people that's closest to us that will sit and put things in your mouth and put it in your mind that you start speaking ill things when that's not what God wants you to do. All he wants you to do is sit back. Get into a relationship with him. Have a slow soak with God. Slow soak with God. Let everything that he has start soaking into your life. Everything that he's pouring into you. You don't want it to come and go through you fast and just come right back out. No, you want a slow soak. You want to make sure that you're consuming everything that God has for you. So the words that come out of your mouth be acceptable to him. Not acceptable to man, not acceptable to you, because it has nothing to ask God to renew our mind because we are his temple. We're giving ourselves to him. Our mouth no longer belongs to us. Our mind, nothing belongs to us. And this is the things that we have to learn. It's a learned behavior. Praising God is a learned behavior. Worshiping God is a learned behavior. Speaking his word is a learned behavior. That's why I said if you don't know what to say, get your Bible. Start looking. Go put in the title. Google it. What are some positive affirmations that I could speak over my life instead of always speaking negative? Because one thing I want to sit and tell each and every last one of us, God got a plan for us. Just as he planned for the Israelites, just as he did so many things, he has done so many things to keep us, we have to learn how to encourage ourselves. Sometimes you got to prophesy over yourself. It don't take evangelist Nita, can you pray for me? No. Because, see, I need you. I need the words that come out of your mouth, God, to know that they're coming from your heart. God knows exactly what you need. And God meets us exactly where we need to be. He grabs us up, and he deals with us from that point. I may be praying one thing, and you asking God for another. That's why it is so important for you to gather your own thoughts, for you to gather and be able to speak what you need to speak on your own. And stop damning yourself. Stop condemning yourself. Because God did not create us for condemnation. God created us to be royal ambassadors. He created us to be conquerors. He created us to be kingdom citizens. He created us to walk with him and not be afraid. He gave us the mouth that we have so we can speak blessings over our situation, over our finances. I don't have a problem to tell you all, I have a regimen. I have a regimen where I get up in the morning, I command when the temple, when the spirits introduced me to commanding my atmosphere, I grab hold to it and I start commanding it. And some days I don't see the manifestation. But that don't mean that I just push it to the side. Because, see, I can go to the scripture and know that the scripture is real because all scriptures were inspired by God. So what I do is I continue to get up day after day, and I command my atmosphere. And on some days I am a conqueror. Some days I don't quite make it, but I don't give up on God. I just sit and say, God, maybe I wasn't ready for that on today. Maybe I wasn't, but today is another day. See, I have a level of expectation, and every single day that level rises to a new level. It gets higher and higher because I know that I control things that come out of my mouth. I know that I control my own destiny. I control my own destiny. I don't need you. I don't need Apostle Temple. I don't need anybody controlling my destiny. I need the people to teach me. I need them to teach me. I need the direction. But once I get the concept, it's between me and God. It's between me and God. Stop speaking curses over your life. Start speaking plenty. Start using the word plentiful, bountiful, abundantly, exceedingly. Lord, I thank you. But you know, we get into a place where those words don't even exist. I have a friend that's a elementary teacher, principal, and one day we were talking and she said, you know what, I have a teacher that's in, that works for me, and this is what I had to tell her. You know yourself before you yes yourself. She wasn't saying K-N-O-W when she broke it down to me. She told me, she told her, you know N-O before you Y-E-S yourself. So I said, break that down to me. She said that throughout her lifetime, she had been through so much. She then wrote a couple of books. She said, nobody not going to buy them books. Nobody not going to come and see me. Nobody not going to do this. Nobody's not going to listen to me. Nobody. So when the lady told her, she said she had to sit there and put everything together. And sit. She said at first she got angry, and then she had to come back and say, yes, Lord, that is exactly who I am. Stop putting your nose before your yes. Yes, Father, I love you. Yes, Father, I need you. Yes, Father, I'm more than a conqueror. Yes, Father, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Yes, Father, yea, I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I fear no evil. Yes, Father, sickness may be in my body, but by your stripes I am healed. By your stripes I am healed day by day. Yes, listen, I can send a scream to the mountains out right now. Let me tell y'all something. God to bless me exceedingly and abundantly. I'm in a yes place. ain't got time for your nose. I ain't got time for your nonsense. I ain't got time for your bad attitude. See, I'm looking for some people that the anointing is just spilling over on for them. So if I could just get in their presence, and as the woman with the issue of blood, that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, she will receive the blessing. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. I'm not trying to be funny. If you call me on the phone and I ain't got no rap for you, baby, let me tell you something. I done been through the highs, I done been through the mids, and I done been through the lows. And sometimes God do a reverse. He take you from the lows, he take you from the mids, and he take you to the highs. I done came up out of that dark place. I'm at the mids, and guess what? I'm striving to get to the highs. When the word tells me that God, his word is for me to reap good things, for me to prosper, that's what I expect. Man, so he shall not lie. That's what I expect. His word does not come back void. That's what I expect. I expect every word, every promise that God has given me. So why shouldn't I learn the promises? Why shouldn't I study the Bible and meditate on it day and night, as it says in Joshua 1:8, and learn the words? Because I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth, but then I say, Holy Spirit, activate, speak for me. And you speak blessings out of your mouth instead of curses. I don't know, besides myself, who I'm talking to on today. But I will tell you this. The words that we say are blessings, and the curses is in curses. And it's, and the manifestation will come forth in our lives. It's what you choose. What do you choose to manifest? What do you choose for how do you want people to look at you? When they look at you, do you want them to look at you and say, yes, that's a child of God? I remember back when she was doing this and she was doing that. But see, a transformation took place because she started prophesying into her own life. She started speaking over her own blessings. She started letting leukemia know, you have no place in my life. I decree and declare that every white blood cell will come up under subjection of the Holy Spirit, and you no longer reside in my life, because I have evicted you, because I realize that my mouth holds power and authority. You got to learn how to speak to that situation, and that's when you get ugly, and that's when you get your FI stance. That's where military, that's where law enforcement, they have a stance that lets you know, if you mutter or stutter, I'm going to do something to you. That's how you got to come up against the devil when he starts trying to put all these crazy things in your mind. Oh, I'm old. I'm at an old age right now. All my friends around me, I don't care what your friends around got going on. What did God say? What are you speaking into your life? What are you telling God? Hezekiah, when the man of God came and told Hezekiah, based on his son's disobedience, that, and he didn't try to do anything about it, that he was going to die. Hezekiah turned himself to the wall, and he started reminding God. He started speaking. Words started coming out of his mouth, reminding God of all the things that he had done. Before the man of God can get out of the courthouse, the courtyard, God had been turned that thing around. Let me tell you something, folks, saints. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation is, don't let a dead, don't let it die. Don't get into the place where the people were with the dry bones. Listen. What did he have to do? What did Ezekiel have to do? God asked him, could those bones raise again? Ezekiel prophesied to those bones. Those bones came back together. They got flesh on their body. They came back. Speak to your dry bones. Speak to your dead situation. Speak to them. When Jesus went to Mary and Martha, said, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. See, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, because it's always going to be some naysayer on the scene. It's always going to be somebody that's going to tell you, girl, I don't care what you say, you getting sicker and sicker. You looking terrible. I don't know why you praying to God, not looking, God not hearing you, he not paying you no attention. It's some things you're not doing right. You're not fasting long enough. You're not calling on his name long enough. You're doing this, you're doing that. But see, when you go back and you look at that story, Jesus did it. He waited purposely because it was some naysayers. It was some people in the background. You got to look in the scripture really good. And he wanted people to see when he spoke, when he called Lazarus out of that tomb and he raised, God was glorified through our actions, through our mouths. I told you all yesterday, Isaiah 43:7 says that we were created for God to be glorified through us. Exodus 2:30 says, if you honor me, I will honor you. Learn to honor God in your speaking. Learn to honor God in your ways. Learn to put God as your number one priority. When you start putting God as your number one priority, things change for you. The ugly turns into a beauty. The foulness turns into a new vocabulary. It's like you get a little bit promoted. You start getting promoted. And once you start seeing yourself, I don't know about you, but once I start seeing a promotion, I even start changing my attire. My hair may go get to changing. I got to look in the dictionary and find a little bit, some words that I got to change. My writing has to change because, see, I'm no longer that person anymore. God has deemed me to the place where I can go a little bit higher. So if I'm going a little bit higher, that means my standards are raising. And if my standards are raising, that means my speech got to change. My walk got to change. My look got to change. I tell you all on today, it's nothing better than being in a place when you realize what God is doing in your life. When you realize that God has given you all power, all authority in your hand, that consuming fire where you can speak situations and it will move. Don't get to a place where you get so stagnated and you get so upset and you get above yourself and you forget that the Holy Spirit is your lead and guide and you turn into that ugly person all over again. And you got to start walking all over that mountain. When you realize the change, and you will realize the change before anybody else does, because God is an internal God. And by him being internal, you're going to know the things that's going to change. You are realizing the wee hours of the morning, he started waking you up. And you're waking up, and you find yourself speaking things out of your mouth. You start realizing that, oh, is that me saying that, or is it somebody else? You got to pinch yourself and say, is this a dream? But you realize that God says, no, it's time for a transformation. I'm tired of you sitting in this same spot. I'm ready for you to move. I'm ready for you to get to the other side. When Jesus told the people, the disciples, he said, let's go to the other side. He gave them an invitation because they had lingered too long. How many of you are lingering too long because you speaking foolishness, foulness, or you're allowing somebody to call you and give you a prophecy that God ain't even gave them, and you saying yes and amen to something that God ain't even saying? How many of you are doing that? I decree and declare on tonight that you go before the Lord and you ask to show you who is who and what is what, and you stop depending on other people to do what you can do in yourself. What God does for one, he can do for others. It's up to you to speak yourself into the position that you choose to speak to be in. I was talking to my sons last night, and I said to them, I said, we got to get in a place where we become good stewards over our money because, and I'm telling y'all, I'm just being real. I said, because, Lord, I'm ready. I stepped over the millionaire. I said, I'm ready to be a multi-billionaire. I'm ready to get on a jet and call my friends and say, girl, meet me such and such, but don't bring no clothes. I'm starting to speak over myself, but I realize that there are some things that I have to change. I realize that there are some things that I have to do. I realize that I have to be more obedient. I have to be more disciplined. So I got to speak those words out of my mouth. Lord, help me to be more obedient. Lord, help me to be more disciplined, Father God. Lord, stop letting me do the things that I'm doing, but to trust in you with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul. Power and death in the tongue. You have to ask yourself, what do you choose? Which way do you want to go? I choose to go on the path of life. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they agree? If you got some people in your life and you know that you're trying to do the right thing and that you're speaking blessings over your life and they speaking curses over your life, it's time for you to kick them to the curb. Because one thing about it, you can stay there with them. You can marinate in their mess. But when you look at me, you're going to be looking at the back of me because I'm running. I'm running. I'm running and I'm running. And I'm saying, God, I am ready. Pray on tonight that somebody, something that I have said, have touched somebody. Look into your Bibles. Read the scriptures. Find things that you can speak over to yourself. Write you some affirmations. Take away the negative, the negative, the negative, the negative, the negative people. People will call you and be talking and not even realize that they're being negative, not even realizing that they said the word curse and don't even know. And most of the time we do it over ourselves. It's time for a change, a wonderful change. It's time for us to speak life into our situation. May God continue to watch over us, guide us and lead us, correct us in the way, correct us in his ways, in the times that we fall, immediately pick us up and we come before him and ask for forgiveness. Don't allow it to marinate and know that God has something great for you. It's in his word. It's not that we just saying it. It is there. It is there. It's the question is, are you ready to receive? So I thank you all on tonight. I ask you all to just continue to pray for one another. Keep God the number one person in your life and know that this is, it ain't no special people sitting and say, this is your blessing season. God is a blesser all the time. It's up to you to receive the blessing. It's up to you to be in a place where you can receive it. And I don't mean all the time in a physical place. I mean in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. You have to be connected. And once you're connected, you know that everything, what's wrong, get rid of. Sometimes it may revisit you. It's up to you to say, I got enough strength. You heard what I said. To say, I am an overcomer. I have enough strength. And you are behind me now. Or you are under my feet. I don't have time to entertain you. I need to get what God has for me. Good night, ADM. I pray that you all, again, and may God, again, keep you and keep all of us. I love you and see you Sunday. God bless.
A clean heart so that I may worship you. Make me more.